Jets fans, it's me, David, here for a review preview episode of the Jet Stream. We're having a chat about the weekend's match against Sydney FC, where the Jets went down in the A-League 1-0 to Sydney. We'll also have a look back at the W-League fixture, where the Jets were also defeated by Melbourne City to the tune of 4-0. Before then going on to have a look at Wednesday's F3 derby and what that will bring to the teams. Joining me tonight, first of all, is Grant. Welcome.
Grant. Hello. How's it going, mate?
Good, mate. Yeah. It's been a long time since we've had you on, mate. I just thought you wanted to make it a little bit longer.
Oh, sorry. My introduction is, I'm glad to be here. I've got a plan to live forever, so far it's working.
Very good. Well done. And also here to chat about the game is Lucas. Mate, how you doing?
Good, mate. Good to be on.
Thanks, mate, for joining us. Those Reds are doing all right.
They are. They're doing great. Let's see if we can hold on for 15 more rounds.
That's it, mate. We've only got to look after ourselves. So, guys, opening question very quickly. My answer for this is The Orville. It's a show that is on SBS that I've discovered, and I don't mind it. But what was the last TV show that you thought you'd give a go, and you actually quite enjoyed it and found it a really good watch? Lucas, I'll start with you.
Yeah, sure. One straight comes to mind. SBS always gets good football content, or not all the time, but they got this show from Norway. It was called The Home Ground.
Yeah.
And it was a whole show about female gender equality and sexism, and it was about a Norway coach. She was coaching the Norway national team women's, and then she got an opportunity to coach a team that had just been promoted back into the first division of Norway, and it's all about her battling just the odds, really, from signing players to getting just respect to start with from the supporters, and it was brilliant. I really enjoyed it.
Interesting. Very interesting. And what about you, Grant?
If you're talking about The Orville, if you haven't got hold of that one yet, go and have a look, because that is a really good find, that show. We we first spotted it when it first came out. They were promoting it over in the States, and we were lucky enough when we come home, it popped up. So into the second season now, yeah, do it. But as far as, I suppose, a show that might have, it's been around for a long time, really changed itself up, was Doctor Who, after all these years as a female doctor. And there's a lot of haters out there, but, you've got to get past it. You've got to understand what the doctor's all about. And she is definitely a doctor. So, yeah. I'm surprised. I think it's a show that sort of just keeps on rolling along.
Ah, very
good.
The
whole new format. Yeah,
SBS have a couple of jewels like The Orville and those sorts of things. I mean, Brooklyn Nine-Nine is, I first came across through SBS while watching the World Cup, not the last World Cup, the one before. That's a great show. And one that I'll put in there that I've noticed is on ABC iView as well, that people can catch up on Netflix. It's up to the third season on Netflix. The first season in particular is great, and that's The Good Place. So, a couple of light-hearted shows, I guess. Maybe Lucas is not so light-hearted, but
it's good. You should check it out. Honestly, if you like football, you'll love it. It's awesome. Do you guys remember the player John Carew? He used to play for Villa.
Aston Villa. Yep.
So he is from Norway, and he's in it as one of the main characters. So
interesting. There you go. We'll give it a look. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, I suppose we can't leave it any longer. We'll get straight into the Sydney game. Grant, Andy Merrick last week hinted that there may be some changes for this game heading into the clash against Sydney, given the disappointing performance against Victory the week before. But there was only one change to the lineup, and that was probably one that was to be expected, with Ronnie Vargas coming back in for Daniel Georgievsky, and a slight positional shift for Petratos and Hoffman. But I think that was one that was pretty predictable. Did that surprise you, given the way Andy was talking after last week's game?
I think that might have been a bit more for the media, a bit more to try and placate some of the angry mob that's forming with the pitchforks and the axes around him, I suppose. But there wasn't much more that he could do, was there? Joey Champness was certainly not in the starting spot. I think a lot of we spoke about it on the pod, or you guys spoke about it on the pod, about thinking Shepherd may have got a start, and I think a lot of people would like to see that because we're now starting to really look for some different options. But no, Jedziski's missed a game because of his fifth yellow, and Ronnie's going to come straight back in to take his spot. So that didn't really Yeah, I think it's more for the media, his comments, rather than the moves.
I mean, it was three wins and now made it four for Sydney FC down at Kogra. That's a bit of a spectacle, Lucas. It looked like it's quite a full ground. There's quite a few Sydney FC fans that have travelled there and filling it out, which kind of bodes well for the whole boutique stadium push. But it looks like it's a good ground to watch football at.
Yeah, on TV it looked really full, and I love these boutique stadiums. And they did I think it was Brisbane and Wanderers did one in Mudgee, maybe.
Yep.
Like earlier in the season, and that had a small but full stadium as well. They look great on TV.
It was an early start for Sydney, I think, in particular. Grant, they came out the quicker of the two teams. The Jets really failed to gain any sort of ascendancy. And Lafondra had an early opportunity. Granted, it was from the left, but I thought it was a thunderous strike and a terrific save from Glenn Moss after a couple of minutes.
Yeah, and that was, if you have a look at it, that was Ronnie gave the ball away in the midfield there. He lost the ball that created that opportunity for them. And again, I suppose, I won't say it was a fantastic save. It was a pretty routine save for somebody like Moss, but they certainly started to fly the flag very early, what their intent was, and they kept that up for a while and came at us as expected, thinking they're just going to nail us. But we put up a bit of a fight, but still same problems, same issues. Sydney certainly showed their colours very early what their intent was.
Last year, I thought, Lucas, we really tended to mix up our approach to making our way up the field. We weren't really just a team that was known for the long ball, the long cross-field ball to switch it to one of the wingers, particularly from the right across to now Jair left. But the midfield, I think, this year has been really compressed. And we've struggled to maintain or get any sort of ascendancy in that area of play and be able to play our way through. And we're resorting to a whole heap of these long balls. It's really starting to frustrate me. Are you finding the same level of frustration with the way that we're approaching games?
Yeah, I think because last season, I keep trying to say myself it wasn't a flash in the pan season, but
it was.
No one expected us to, come out cracking like that. And then I think with whatever Ernie had planned, and now this season, the midfield especially, people have figured out what we're doing. So, and we still haven't found an answer to that. So, and that's why we do quite often turn the ball over in midfield. So, yeah.
I said it earlier in the year, Grant. I mean, and Lucas, we might not call it a flash in the pan season. Let's just call it a unicorn season. Grant, I think last year we actually offered a bit of pace out wide, which I think forced teams' defensive lines deeper. And that in turn actually created some space for us in midfield to be able to play. I called it out earlier this year that we're missing pace. We're missing pace. And as a result, I think that's part of the issue that this team's experiencing. The field's really compressed and we've got no one can actually get in behind.
That's right. Look, when you think about it, Ronnie Vargas was out from about the third game, wasn't he?
Yep.
Last year. We had the very fast, the very dynamic Andrew Naboot running down the sidelines, Hoffey doing very similar things on the other side, and Joey Champness also making some big busting runs. So we did have that, and I suppose that's where the dynamics have changed. And I think, I've got Ronald on the back of my shirt that I bought for this year, the black strip. So I class him as an extremely talented player. But again, it's a mixture of players. And if you want to compare the two seasons, if you average it out, we're doing really well. Because we were really, really lucky this year, and we've been really, really unlucky this year. So we rode our luck last year, and it all went for us. Nothing's gone. Nothing has come our
Absolutely
way
not.
This year.
Absolutely
not. And whether people believe in luck or karma or whatever it is that sometimes you can toss a coin 1,000 times and chances of heads coming up are still 50-50. So, we keep getting the other side.
Yeah, we do. Definitely do, mate. We are really struggling for it this year. One of the players that I think we were banking a lot on this season was Jair Lucas. And I actually thought he probably had one of his better halves of football in that first half against Sydney. Do you see that?
I keep trying not to write him off and say that, he's done, get rid of him, whatever. But he does, every now and then, he produces a good 45 minutes or 20 minutes and changes my mind. And I think it's just because we need him to click, because we can't get anyone else. So,
well, the One Football app, they do a poll every game. And he actually came second in the poll, a fair few behind. De Jong. He won the players, best player voted by the fans on that app, but Jar got second on it. So, I'm watching a game again today. He did quite well. He made a good runs and he was actually going towards goal.
Yeah, so, he did manage to get in behind, and he was unlucky, I thought, with the cut.
I mean,
the sliding challenge that was placed in Ugarkovic, who was trying to shoot. Then we had the cross, the right-footed cross, in-swinging cross, that nearly caught Redmayne out. And I think that was sneaking into the top corner, Grant.
I think you're dead right there, Dave. It was going in. And, Redmayne certainly he saved the goal, that's for sure. But whether it was a cross or a shot, you'd take it. He's going to take it as a shot, I'm sure. But, Redmayne, good keeper.
The Sydney lineup surprised me to an extent, Grant. No Ninkovic in the team at all. I can only assume that he was injured. The early disruption that they suffered with Jacob Tratt going off within the first 7 minutes, I thought that had the potential to cause a breakup in their rhythm, a breakup in their preparation and approach to the game. And the Jets almost took advantage of it down that right-hand side with J.A. I mean, we saw Aaron Calver receive an early booking for one of the challenges that he put in. But at the same time, we did really well. We got some chances, but we weren't able to take them.
No, it's anything under the, from us down to the bottom ranks. It's all the big problem is in the front third, isn't it? It's people trying to put goals in the back of the nets, and we're not very good at it. Have a look at the stats about balls into the box, shots on target and all that sort of thing, and you'll find Demi Petrarca's up there in the top 10 in all of them. In a couple of those stats on that One Football app, he's leading the stats. But as I say, no good. You can have all the stats in the world. If they're not going to the back of the net, they mean nothing.
Well, I mean, nine shots in total in the game for Jets. One shot on target with a shooting accuracy, therefore, of 11%. Lucas, we need to be more clinical in front of the goal. I mean, we've been saying it for weeks, and I even said that it's going to come to the point where we're either going to batter a team or we're just going to start to implode. And I actually think it's starting to be more of the latter, that we're looking to implode, and our season is almost crumbling before our eyes.
Yeah, it's not good to watch, is it? I keep thinking of these chances that we don't take, and thinking if we did take them, we would be, in the top six for sure, maybe even higher in, second or third spot. So it's just frustrating to watch, and I don't know where we're going to end up, to be honest.
Grant, the goal, the 44th minute goal, Nigel Bougard concedes an own goal. The ball comes across, Johnny Katrumbas is out in the wing, challenging quite closely the player that plays it inside to Brandon O'Neill and then continues his run down the side. The player that's in there supporting is Matt Redenton, who, if you watch the replay, Redenton sits right off O'Neill. He gives him probably 3 or 4 metres, and that's enough space for O'Neill to look up, pick his spot, and play, I thought, quite a terrific ball in that Bross was going to get to. No doubt was going to get to it if Bugard didn't have make a touch. He had to take a challenge, or had to make that challenge, play at the ball. And if he doesn't do that, it's probably a goal anyway. But last year, that's the sort of thing that we were nicking in. We were touching, and they were going wide of the post. And it comes back to what you were saying before. We're out of luck.
Yeah. Well, look at in the first couple of minutes there with O'Donovan. Yeah, he just gets wrong-footed, can't turn around quick enough, and he puts it into the side of the net rather than in the goal. You know, it's a foot either way, but it's last year it would have gone on the inside. This year it's gone on the outside. So, and I think because of that, I think all of those supporters should hand in their memberships because I don't know how they can live for themselves.
Mate, it's I take it you're referencing something there.
I think some of our. But really, again, I'm old, okay? That's okay. I've been around and I've seen a lot of things, I suppose. But it beggars belief to read some of the rubbish that these 12-year-olds, I'm sure they're older than that, but they're 12-year-olds, seriously, that are writing about the team and, should we boycott and, stop supporting and all this. Oh, yeah, go away. We should have just go away. Do not get me started, Dave.
I won't, mate. I promise I won't. Now I'm sorry I asked, but look, if you're gonna stick around and enjoy the good times, then you got to stick around and enjoy the tough times too. And that's what we're doing. We've had plenty of tough times, so we should be.
So are you sure?
We should be thick-skinned by now, mate. Yeah, we're battle hardened.
This is nothing. Seventh has been nailed on. Seventh.
Yeah, absolutely.
Seventh heaven.
All right. We've gone so far probably about 17 or 18 minutes. It's time to get on to the ref.
Don't get me. Okay, let's go.
All right. Aaron Cowler. I think that he should have been sent. I think it was in the first half. Sorry?
He should have been punched in the face.
Aaron Cowler.
Oh, sorry, I'm talking about the ref. Sorry.
No. I thought Aaron Cowler.
Yes.
He should have been sent. He was booked early, and then I think it was in the first half again. There was a challenge that may have warranted a second yellow card.
Yeah, was it?
And
it
I think was Glenn, he was lucky to stay on the field.
It was a definite yellow. A definite yellow. Robbie Slater, you could hear him saying, "Oh, geez, he could be in trouble. Oh no, he's lucky to get away with that. And if you've got Robbie Slater, who is the sky blue,
he bleeds blue,
the sky blue darling. If he's saying that, and you look at it, and I did a replay of it, definitely, it was Jair, I think he took out." Definitely a second yellow. So that should have been one. Yep. That's gone.
The second one, Lucas, that has a lot of people talking is Michael Zullo. That he was on a red. Sorry, he was on a yellow. The foul that he took out Ugarkovic's standing leg, spread his legs on him, took him down. It was definitely a foul. I also thought not realizing who it was, I thought, oh, come on, that's got to be a yellow. Like that's a pretty cynical type of foul there. You've gone through Ugarkovic in his back. By all accounts, and I recall at the time, I saw the ref reach into his pocket, and I thought, okay, good, he's getting you yellow. But then all of a sudden, the cards are away. It panned away to a bit of a replay. The cards are away. The ref is walking away with his arm around Zullo, having a smile and a joke with him.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I think, what the freaking hell is that? Bozza Lucas spoke about the officiating and the narrative around the big clubs, the inverted commas big clubs getting the rub of the green. This sort of thing certainly doesn't help that perception go away.
No, it only fuels the fire, doesn't it? And both fullbacks, booked really early, and then especially Calvers, I thought, oh, he's gone, And then, but with the Zulu one, I remember the TV swapping over to a replay to look at it, and it's like cover whatever they've spoken to about after the incident, and he's just let it be. So it just doesn't the big
clubs getting in favors.
Yeah. You could put it down to the luck thing that we have,
Again, even Robbie Slater was saying, he's gone for his, he said, oh, I swear he's putting his hand in his pocket, and then realised it was would have been a second yellow. And again, that's probably Slater saying that. And everybody, just follow his Twitter account, you'll see that he's a fan, okay, which he's allowed to be, I suppose. It's a bit hard sitting there as a media commentator, but that was really something that I think every A-League fan should be thoroughly disgusted. Forget about Hoffey. That was the one for me that really stood out. That he was so late. If you have a look where the legs cross and the legs make contact, and as I say, he walks away with his arm around him, and the world goes on. The FFA just sort of rolls along.
Grant, I'll ask you a question. Do you know when the last red card that an opposition player received when the Jets were the away team? So the opposition are the home team. Do you know when the last red card was?
I can't remember cheering for a long, long time or Lucas, giving some opposition.
Lucas, you got any idea?
I'm going to say it was the 13-14 season. That's just a guess. That's probably how long ago it was.
It was actually the 13-14 season. It was the 9th and the 11th, 2013. The player that was sent off on that occasion, Nigel Bougard.
Oh, wow.
That is how long it has been. So it's been, what was that, five years, 2 months since the Jets were given a red card. The Jets, well, an opposition was awarded a red card when they are the home team. So I actually was asked on NewcastleFootball.net on the forums there to run some stats. And we just arbitrarily took from the 2015-16 season. So that's 3.5 seasons. The Jets have had 49 home matches and 48 away matches during that time. For home matches, we had 93 yellow cards. The opposition have had 98. The Jets have been given 6 red cards at home, 8 to opposition, awarded 8 penalties, and awarded 7 penalties for the opposition with a 47% average possession. Away from home, in 48 matches, the Jets have had 99 yellow cards to 81 the opposition. So that's from a minus 5 to a plus 18 difference. So that's a 23-card turnaround. They've had 7 red cards awarded to the Jets in 48 matches, 0 opposition red cards, 6 Jets penalties away from home, 16 to the opposition. So, and 46% on average Jets possession as well. Because you could say, we're earning more red cards because we haven't got as much of the ball. We got the same amount of ball. So, does that surprise you, Grant?
No, because we've been saying it as fans, we've been saying it anecdotal evidence, I suppose, for a long, long time, that we seem to be getting the stiff end of the stick, the pointy end, jammed right into our eye.
I think I might tweet this later on.
And those sort of stats, again, add fuel to the fire. You might want to analyse every single one of them, but it's just, they made comment about, Hoffey's card being his third red card in the last, out of our last 6. He's got 3 of them. Mm. Yeah, that's, look at the individual cards and look at what's going on, I suppose, to get the reality out of it. But the weight of numbers, there's lies, damn lies, and there's statistics, and those statistics are facts. So. Mm.
Well, let's talk about the Hoffman Red. So, Challenge Hoffman had Alex Brosk and Brendan O'Neill on him while he was trying to retain the ball and retain the possession. He's lost the ball through the challenge, and Hoffman has gone down, and during the process of trying to chase the ball, Brendan O'Neill has stepped on his ankle, and Hoffman has appealed for that. As players continued on, Brendan O'Neill runs over Hoffman, or past
Steps
Hoffman.
Steps back over him. Yep.
Chasing the ball. Hoffman looks at him and rolls over at the same time, and his leg contacts his leg. There's no reaction at all from Brendan O'Neill during this time, which is something that I watched. The one that there is some reaction from is probably the mouth from the South, Alex Brosk. And he appeals and nearly blasts his beard off because he's appealing that hard. Adam Fielding comes over and brandishes a red card for what has now been been ruled as serious unsporting conduct. I was concerned that it was actually going to be violent conduct, which brings a bigger ban. But, I mean, far out, Grant. Lucas, I'll go to you, mate. Your first instinct after you saw that, Matt, what did you think?
I thought the ref would have just spoken to the three of them, and then that was it, because that's all that I saw in it. But with Bross going off his head, Hoffman's, put himself in the situation here where the ref could give him a card. But yeah, I thought it was going to be nothing, just a talking to calm them down.
Grant, I thought as soon as he saw
it.
Oh, yeah, it was bullshit. But I thought that he was going to... I thought it was going to be... Once he blew the whistle, I thought to myself, this has just got, David Beckham, Diego Simeone, all written all over it. He's going to get a red card here. And I was right.
Yeah. There's nothing. It's been... You didn't have to replay it because the Fox Sports replayed it enough. And, and the commentators are saying how harshly he was dealt with. Bozza has gone right off. I mean, he's really stoked the fire on this one. It was burning a little bit low, but he's really thrown some fuel onto it, hasn't he? That was a disgusting decision. And the other interesting thing about that, as you say, that the bearded wonder from down south, that there was another free kick given to Sydney a little later. Our player took a guy, came in behind a Sydney player, the player's gone down, and everything's gone on until the ball had travelled another 15 metres or more and was still going. The referee was running until Broska's gang yelled out, and then the referee's looked at the player on the ground and blew the whistle, and Bross has gone over yelling and screaming at him about what had happened. So obviously to tell the ref, this is why you blew the whistle, mate. Seriously, I watched it and I thought the referee had no idea until Bross yelled out, and that would be the similar reaction, because that referee is when after Bross has gone off has gone, oh, something must have happened, because there's an article in the Herald this afternoon that O'Neill has stated he didn't even feel him kick him, he didn't even feel him touch him or something, those words like that, and he thought it was way too harsh, didn't deserve the red.
Yeah. That's right. It's on the A-League website too. I wonder whether it's a bit of a sly dig, actually, Lucas, that when the announcement about Hoffman's suspension, which is one game, has been confirmed as one match, they had a picture of him holding up his finger one as he's walking off, as if to say, no, that's not right. But he's holding it up, got the big one. I thought that's just a piss take, surely. Jump on there and have a look. It's an absolute piss take.
I can't believe it. It's just ridiculous, isn't it? Like what Grant said, what am I blowing the whistle for? That just sums it up there. And, it's ridiculous.
Anyway, so we look to move on. The standard of officiating is what it is. It's really hard to take. It's really hard to cop. Things certainly aren't going our way, but the more we can't mope and cry about it. We need to stop.
We certainly can't dump the club. And the way some of these plastics are carrying on, because they're feeling a little bit down about it. They're gonna dump and all their vitriol over the media, the socials, and that. And, they're 12-year-olds feeding them.
Yeah. So
life's too short, kids. Get over it. Move on.
Lucas, I thought the one positive to come out of the match was the return of Joey Champness. He got 20-odd minutes. Didn't really get to touch the ball because the match changed once he was introduced. But good to see Joey back out there. Hopefully that's the spark, the pace, the threat that we're looking for down that right-hand side, down that left-hand side, and with a bit of game time, we might be seeing Jair on the bench sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I was very happy to see him, even if it was just a, 20-minute cameo, because, like you said earlier, he's definitely got pace. So if that's what we've been missing, if that's to stretch the opposition, we're going to find out, aren't we? So it's good to have him back.
Mm. All right. Well, Grant, we'll start with you, mate. Who's your man of the match?
It was, again, a man of the match of the losing team is always a lot of fun, but we're starting to get used to picking them again, aren't we? Jagarkovic had a good game. I thought Katrimbas had a good game. And to all those Muppets out there, I thought Buddy Topper Stanley, again, was very solid and put in a huge shift. So I don't know. Take your pick out of one of those three for me. That's how I couldn't split them.
Lucas, what about you?
I'll go Stevie. I thought he had a pretty good game. Keeping things as controlled in the midfield, I thought he had a pretty good game.
Yep. He even had a Zadkovic shot, didn't he?
He did, yes.
It's still sailing. I'm going to disagree with you both. Well, I'm going to go somewhere different from you both. Don't disagree that he had a good game. I'm going to pick Glenn Moss. I thought the two saves that he made in that first half in particular, and then the incredible save one-on-one from right at the death from Adam Lafondra, how he stopped that, and then to turn around with cramp in his leg after that as well. I thought Glenn Moss actually... Any chance that we were going to have was all down to Glenn Moss and his keeping on that during that game. So credit to him. He was my player of the match. We move on. The Jets in the W League, they travelled down to CB Smith Reserve, which is down in Melbourne, to take on Melbourne City, a team who we have an absolutely horrific record against. And that record continues on Sunday night at 7:30. Lucas, with the Jets going down 4-0 and now leaving them with the dreaded mathematical chance of reaching the top six. Top four.
Yeah, the whole table is crazy with who can make it and who can't, but I'm pretty sure we won't be able to, losing 4-0. I watched one half of this game and, it wasn't good to watch. I think it was 4-0 early, so... When was the final goal scored? Because it was 4-0 before the half? Or
31-37. No, 2-0 half time. Yeah. And by 69th minute, it was done.
That's right, yeah. So I watched the second half, and I just it was hard to watch.
I mean, there's 6 points still to play for the Jets, and they are 6 points away from fourth place Perth Glory, Grant. Look, let's be realistic. It's time for the Jets to now stop and start looking at what next season's going to offer for them.
Oh, look, I think you're right. And after losing Van Egmond, I thought they thought that themselves, but they did a gutsy win against Perth, wasn't it, last week?
Yep.
And I think that may have been their grand final, basically. I'd rather talk about that game. But, and then they've come out from that huge high of beating Sam Kerr and her Perth girls to come up against City, who, as we know, most probably have got some of the best facilities and best supported W League team in the comp. So, they've come from big adrenaline rush down to copping that. I think they might do it tough for the rest of the season. But, it's football. We move on. We've lost a few players that, we've had injury issues that teams have. So, again, keep going, practice to the end. It's all training from here on in.
You look at the team that Melbourne City do put out. They've got Lydia Williams, Yukari Kinga, Steph Catley, Elise Kellen-Knight, and Tamika Butt. That's a terrific team. And you look at the Jets and who they are. They are missing. They're missing Katie Stengel. They're missing Emily Van Egmond. They're missing Taylor Spencer as well, who, while young, had such a massive impact on that team. I'm sure we'll come to talk about it later once their season concludes, Lucas. But if the Jets are going to take anything out, for me, I think it's the cementing of her place at the base of midfield that Claire Wheeler has managed to do. Also then the introduction into the starting lineup and the continued development of Libby Copus-Brown, the discovery of Tessa Tamplin as well. I think that's some of the positives that the Jets can take away from this season. But that said, the disappointment, the expectation they would have had at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, from last year to this year, it's been a bit disappointing. But I guess you mentioned those three names. Claire Wheeler's been great, really good player to watch. And Libby has too with that cracker goal, the debut goal.
Courtney Vine too, she did the same.
Oh, yeah, early on, that was a great goal, yeah. And then Templeton, was that her debut against Perth? I believe it was.
Tessa Templin. No, she played Templin, last week. Sorry. Yeah, Tessa Templin played last week too.
Yeah, yeah. The she looked great in the Perth game. So, I guess you can take those positives and build on for next season.
Yeah. So the Jets, they've got two matches left. They go to Marden Park in Adelaide to play Adelaide Women this weekend. Oh, this Friday night at 7:30 before finishing off their season Saturday the 2nd of February at 7:30 at Number 2 Sports Ground against the Western Sydney Wanderers. Hopefully against the Wanderers got their first win over the weekend. Hopefully that point in time that will be the Jets able to finish the season on a high. One thing we forgot to do previously was listen to Ernie Merrick's press conference. So, sorry about that, everyone. We'll put it in now.
It was disappointing, the result, and the effort was there, but it wasn't our normal free-flowing football. I thought our midfield, Ronnie and Dimmy in particular, was shut down very effectively. Brandon O'Neill sort of was hard to get past them, so if our midfield weren't controlling the play, they couldn't provide much service forward. And our best service forward was in the first 20-25 minutes. After that, we really struggled to create many chances.
What was your view on the red card?
Well, I wasn't actually looking at the red card, I was looking at it the other way to see what Glenn Moss's problem was. So I didn't actually see what happened. The first part, it looked like he was going to get a yellow card because the referee must have thought that he stomped on him or something. I didn't see that. I just saw him rolling over and they're getting their legs tangled. I didn't see any lashing out. And then I turned around, then I turned back again. I said, what's happened? You got a red card. I'm not sure why. So without seeing it in replay, I can't really comment, but Jason's really annoyed because he says he never lashed out at anyone. So, I don't want to get into referees' decisions, but really, I don't think we played good enough football to win today, whether we had 10 players or 11. It was a great effort from the boys, but it's very tough playing the last 20 minutes with 10 players. And we never stopped giving effort, getting forward, taking risks, and Glenn stopped a couple of great shots at the other end. But it just puts us in a position where the sixth place is going to be further away from us. And that's occurred not in one game, but in several games we should have perhaps won. Tonight, Sydney were the better team, played the better football, and took, but it was only one goal. It shows you we defend pretty well still. But we haven't got it happening up front, but it was really because of our midfield being shut down, I feel.
I know you'll always back your side.
I think that can be done. I think that can be done. I think it's still a case of you get on a run of three games, three wins, it changes things enormously. And so I still feel that we'll definitely make the top six and play in the finals. But this puts more pressure on the players to perform. And I try and take the pressure off them. And some of the youngsters can't cope with it. Some of the more senior players love it. But I don't think it's a good thing to go out feeling that you have to always get 3 points several in a row. But we're capable of doing that. We've still got a good squad. We've got Joey Champness. It was good to see him getting on the field. Kane's getting more and more match fit, more of a full-time type football player. I thought Johnny Katrimbas was our best player. And for what he's been through, it's a credit to him. And we've signed him now for another 3 years. So he was outstanding.
Back to the Jason Hoffman thing, if Jason thinks he was
Robert, that's really the CEO's decision. I mean, there was another one the boys were telling me about. The boys were particularly annoyed. Both their fullbacks had yellow cards, and then Zulo went in for a pretty hard tackle. The referee went to his pocket, apparently, realised he'd given him one already and changed his mind. Now, if that's true, I'd be really disappointed if that's true. But nothing's run for us this year, but there's no excuses. We didn't play well enough to win tonight. Well, we've got this wonderful draw. So we've got Mariners at home. I forget what McDonald Jones Stadium looks like, but I think I remember it. So we'll play there on Wednesday. And then we'll go on a trip to Perth. And then we'll come back and we'll play another away game at the Wanderers. So we've got four games this month. In 2 weeks we've got four matches, three of them away from home. It's fun. It's a lot of fun. The boys have never stopped working hard, though, and they've been great at training. It's a credit to them.
All right. There's Ernie Merrick's press conference. So, Ernie Merrick, he again mentions the difficulty of the draw that we play this Wednesday night in the F3 Derby, Grant. And after that, we head to Perth for a Sunday night clash. It's a difficult challenge, but, you know, teams in Europe travel from Russia back to England and those sorts of things. So they don't have the resources. We don't have the resources they've got.
With a 30-man squad in business class or first class, they do, don't they?
Yeah. And they do. And they might have to travel 2 hours up the road again as well. But anyway, it is what it is. So we look forward to the F3 Derby, and we come across the Mariners team. They're actually in pretty good form at the moment. They've won one and drawn one of their last two matches.
It chokes in my throat to say it, but they were robbed as well by the VAR. There's a goal that definitely the VAR was not kind to them from an offside point of view. So I think that, you know, they should have had the 3 points. But anyway, they're right. Yeah, Mulvey's starting to get that team to get a bit of confidence amongst themselves, and they're starting to get a bit of, and that's what it does. You know, once you start winning a couple, you get used to winning, and they've always, they seem to have that belief, you know, whether they have that big prick and that runs around who won't be playing this Wednesday night. They're really starting to find their feet, aren't they, over the last couple of matches, and they seem to be enjoying the calendar dates that with all the matches in them. So it'll be interesting. We've got to beat them. It's a must, and I'm sure. Quite sure. I think Ernie's. I've been looking for the team, but I can't see it announced. But he's saying
they've not been announced yet. They'll be announced tomorrow. Yeah. They'll be announced today, which is when most people will probably be listening to this.
Yeah. So, but Ernie has promised there will be a number of changes, but it's more to do with the travel and the scheduling. You know, I think we've got one at home and three away over the next fortnight or so.
Yeah. Well, Lucas, we've got. We still have a fair bit of travel to go in this big block of games. Do you think that the Jets at training this week are probably going to have to issue maps to the players on how to return to Energy Australia? I mean, I think they'd be doing a public service.
McDonald Jones Stadium.
See, it's been so long, I don't even remember what the joint's called anymore. Like, who am I? Where am I? But, you know, they could probably do a public service to the fans by sending a map as well. Also, probably the correct name.
Yeah, that'd be great. I assume they'd have a pretty light training because, you know, the game on Wednesday against the I just can't believe they're strung some wins together. It's like the stupid kid at the back of the bus has actually paid attention in class and he's learning something, you know?
Mate, it's just one. It's just one. Don't get carried away. Dead set.
Yeah. One in 20.
Don't get carried away.
Yeah.
Oh, I won't.
But you're right. As you said, it's that kid at the back of the bus that's had problems. Who's finally got that one answer right? Yeah,
that's right. Yeah.
So Grant mentioned there, Lucas, a couple of players that are looking to be rested. The Herald's reporting that Ronnie Vargas is possibly one that will see time on the bench. Nick Cowburn is in line to come in, as is Ivan Vujica, And there was one more. I'll look that up in a sec. I mean, what sort of changes would you look to... this is real professional. What sort of changes would you be looking to make to the team?
I would rest some key players, but I wouldn't rest that many where you're actually in doubt to win the game, because we should be looking to win this game. Because this, even though this, you know, you'd think with the season we had last season, this game would just be another, you know, embarrassment for the stupid kid at the back of the bus. But it's not. We actually need these points, and the Mariners have actually, you know, building momentum somehow. So I'd rest some, but I'd still feel the strong side.
Daniel Jatevski was the other player that the Herald mentioned. Grant, you expect he walks straight back into the lineup?
Oh, absolutely, especially with Hoffie getting a rest. So we have to, you know, it's... again, when you think about it, if you talk about like-for-like players and, you know, we, that bit of depth we do have in our backs there, we're not being too hardly done by in that area. And I think that, I'd like to see, again, I'll say it again, I'd like to see Kane Shepherd get a start. He's a big, strong lad that can push. As soon as he got on the field there the other day, he starts, you know, pushing him out of the road, and that's exactly what we want. You know, somebody to muscle up, because Ronnie's as light as a feather and Dimmy's not far behind him.
Yeah.
Really.
I think Dimmy's got a bit more strength about him.
He's a bit more mongrel than him, yeah.
That's why.
He's more A-League skilled, because, as I say, it's a tough league out there. There's no beg your pardons, and it's not pretty. But... Shepherd, I think, though, he's been scrapping in the English lower leagues until he came over to the NPL, and I think the NPL's not as much fun as it sounds either sometimes when you're trying to make your way. So, look, I think he'd go out there and push him around and smash that Connor Payne.
Well, Captain Coasty, Matt Simon's not playing in this game, Lucas. That's probably to our advantage, as dirty as I feel saying that.
Oh, everything.
Yeah, he's got his basic literacy and numeracy class to go to, but I won't miss him. You know, I don't know how he plays football. He's just an idiot. But yeah.
He's a giant Osprey, he's probably going to go sit in his egg for a bit. So
that's it. That's true. Yeah, but. With Ernie, he's very, like, he sticks to that formation, doesn't he?
Yep.
Would there be any chance of him, maybe, because we do have to rest players, just maybe mixing it up a bit? Because I've always wanted to see, like, Shepherd and O'Donovan up front, but not in the shape that he plays, you know, like a fourth. And then maybe play Dimmy and Ronnie as the two, like, creative midfielders with, you know, Kenarowski and Jugarkovic as the sitting ones. Like, I don't know, just mixing it up, because he's not changing anything. And if we do end up not making the finals and having a bad season, like, do we blame that on Ernie, or who do we blame that on?
I don't know, but I'm sure we'll find someone.
Yeah, well, as I say, the pitchforks are out already, you know.
We'll blame those 12-year-old social media.
Yeah, those twats.
Yeah. They bought a Jet shirt last season. That was a fair.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, for God's sake, use a comma. If you're going to bash somebody verbally, you know how to use pronunciation.
Yeah, Matt Simon.
Punctuation.
Right. Okay. Incredible. So, guys, let's walk through the lineup then. Are you expecting that Glenn Moss will retain his position? Grant?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Lucas, yes or no?
Yeah, he'll stay there for that awesome save that he made. He looked good.
What are you doing at fullback? Are you retaining... Lucas, are you retaining Johnny Katrumbas and having Daniel Jorgevski there?
Yeah, with Hoffman out, that I think he might have come back in anyway, Jorgevski, so I think it'll be them too.
What about you, Grant? Do you think that he might be likely to rest? Look, Johnny Katrumbas, he's had quite a heavy workload since he's come back. Do you think that we'll look to keep Johnny in the team, or do you think even Vuitta may, alongside Daniel Jorgevski, could be the Jets fullbacks for this game?
You're going to... again, depends which way Ernie wants. You know, is he happy to lose to a team? You know, if you're going to, because Vuitta hasn't had the game time, Johnny certainly has been playing his socks off, doing a fantastic job. All right. If you go, if you beat Perth in Perth, we pick up 3 points. Right. Yep. If we lose against the Mariners, it makes no difference to our position. So Ernie's not particularly. I know he understands the emotional, the emotive powers behind a derby, but if he's trying to get into the top six, has he got his eye on taking Perth or winning a derby? If he wants to win the derby, I think he'd go with Katrumbas. If he's looking at Perth, he's going to rest Katrumbas and put Boyitzer in.
Okay. Are you retaining, Lucas, are you retaining Bugard and Topper Stanley?
You might actually play. No, I think you'd keep the partnership, even though they might be a bit fatigued. I think you'll keep them too.
Okay. You're the same, Grant?
I don't know. But, again, for similar reasons with Boyitza, Lachlan Jackson. They might start it, but Jackson might come on a little bit earlier for either one of those. If you have a look at the stats, Bugard's tackle on the house down. I think he's about 15th overall and out of all the tackles, and Topper Stanley's down in the 40s. So although Topper Stanley's done some big bust and runs, that's for sure. So I don't know. I'd hate to be the coach. I was coached all age for years, so I didn't like that either.
Mm.
Right, so which bloke wants to go on next?
midfield, what are you doing there? Grant, are you keeping Ugarkovic and are you keeping Redenton, or do you think that Cowburn may be brought into the team, and if so, who for?
For Redenton. Okay. I don't think he's, in my mind, for what I've seen, he's we're missing Kantorowski. We always thought we would. I think we can blame Dr. Emma. I think put jinxed him there the other day. But anyway.
Dr. Emma copping it left, right and centre. Cop that, Dr. Emma.
Yeah. And you even, Dr. Emma did say
she rebutted on Thursday, don't worry.
But it's, I think Cowburn for Rod Denton.
I'm doing
I don't
the same.
Know Ernie's. Yeah. I don't know if Ernie's.
Yeah. I was actually watching Redenton because people have been quite critical, me being one of them as well. But I thought, I'm going to watch him. And actually did. His passing wasn't too bad. The problem was when he was going in for the challenge, or he had a couple of players on him, he doesn't have, as I mentioned during the week, the physical strength to retain and hold onto the ball. So that for me, Nick Cowburn is the player that I'd be making the change there. Lucas, what about that front three? It looks like Vargas is going to be on the bench. You assume that Dimmy's going to slot in there. Are you keeping Jair there, or are you bringing Joey Champness in? What are you looking to do in that area of the field?
I think it'll be O'Donovan up top, Jair, and... Oh, God, this is a tough one. Because I really want Shepherd to start, you know? So maybe I think he's going to play Shepherd as well. So I reckon those three. And he's just going to fit them into that shape somehow.
Yeah. Okay, he'll just fit them in somehow. Cool. This is why this is what people
That's
are getting.
That's my approach philosophy.
30 cool. minutes, 30 minutes apiece.
What about you, Grant? You're looking at Angus Thurgate possibly to come in. Do you think Nick Cowburn could play
Champ,
a role?
Joey Champ. Joey
Redenton Champ. Even. Redenton out wide. He played there during the FFA Cup.
Yeah, and Joey Champness is, he had 20 minutes. He needs more. We want to see him, don't we?
Yep.
It's and that could be. I know he's. You don't like bringing players that have been off for a while with an injury back in too soon. But you hear he's training the house down. Is he worth it? Putting him in, see how he goes. He could get a rest for the game against Perth.
His name.
So there's option.
His name. Mitch Austin.
Haven't seen him. Is he still with us?
Yes, he was. He was in the match. He was in the squad.
For two to be dropped.
A couple of weeks, he was one of the two dropped.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Again, there's a speed. Somebody could teach that. The young bloke to run a diagonal, I think you'd be a killer.
Make the straight line just slightly diagonal.
Yeah.
Anyway. That way you can stretch the defence.
He runs
in a straight line.
You can't,
he does.
You can't teach speed. You can't teach speed. And he's certainly got it with... with bucket loads of it. So yeah, and he's a strapping lad. He's a strong bloke. He looks like he can knock him over as he goes. So yeah, he certainly looks like he. And again, I think that's a good call, Dave. I think we might see him sitting on the bench at least for 20 minutes or so in the second half.
All right, guys, prediction time. What are you thinking?
Grant, they're going to scare the pants off us, but we're going to beat them 2-1.
Okay, Lucas.
I was going to say the same thing, 2-1. But I reckon Jair is going to score 1.
Ooh, really? Interesting. That'd be nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
How much would that goal be worth?
I have no idea.
How much are we paying?
I'm really worried about our confidence. I think it's down at the moment. I think that actually might affect us. So I predict a 1-1 draw. So we'll have a look to the rest of the round. There is a game tonight, by the time you're listening to this. Melbourne City host Western Sydney Wanderers at 7:50 at Melbourne, at Amy Park. Grant, what's your prediction?
City. They'll be stinging from getting beat by those Muppets and the other day, so they'll come back and beat Wanderers, who are just got nothing. Since Popovic gone, they got nothing.
Yep, okay. Lucas, what about you?
Yeah, it's going to be City. I just don't know by how much. Wanderers are just a mess at the moment. They're already looking till next season. They were doing that for a while. So, yeah, that'll be City. I just don't know. Go 2-0 City, I guess. Yeah.
A couple of key players are out. Johan's out for Western Sydney Wanderers, as is Oriol Riera. I think City will be too strong for them. I'm predicting a City 2-0 win. First game of a three-game treat on Wednesday the 23rd is Wellington Phoenix hosting Sydney FC, but this is at Westpac Stadium. Lucas, what's your prediction?
Phoenix are looking really good. And the last time they played Sydney, they beat them 3-1, I think it was. Was that the last time they played? I think it was, but I'll tip Phoenix 1-0.
Okay. I'm going to say 2-2 draw. Grant, what about you?
I'm going Phoenix as well, because I think with the injuries that Sydney have got, and they're going over the Dutch, so they'll, I think they're starting to get a bit rattled, a bit scared, I think.
Okay, and the game after us, Grant, is Perth Glory hosting Adelaide United, 10 p.m. from HBF Park.
Mm-hmm. Perth.
Perth.
I think they're just going to roll on. They're starting to find their groove. They're getting used to winning. So I think that Adelaide, good for a goal. I'll give them 2-1.
Okay, I'm going 2-1 too. What about you, Lucas?
Yeah, I'll take 2-1. I reckon that that's the correct score there.
Cool, awesome. All right, so that just about wraps up the football. Let's we'll talk about general business just briefly, Lucas. Johnny Katrumbas signed a 3-year deal. Was made official during last week. Happy days. Happy days for Johnny.
Yeah, great news, and just a great bloke and a good, great player. It's good to have him. We want these kind of people associated with our club for sure.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about you, Grant?
Yeah, good stuff, isn't it? It's that's where we keep saying we're trying to hang on to the good players, good young players. We've let so many of those good young players slip through our fingers, and they're now starting to get a bit smart about it. So maybe we've got a smarter CEO and a coach and a football manager and that. So, I think it's a good move. And if he wants to go on, we can sell him for lots of money.
Win-win.
Yeah, hopefully. Win-win. Hopefully we can. Yeah. Hopefully we can. You never know. Grant, we received some correspondence from our CEO, Laurie McKenna, today. All Jets members did. I didn't know what instigated that, why it was coming out. I'm not very active on social media, but sounds like from you that some people have been calling that they're going to abandon the team, that they're not going to show up or appear.
That's exactly what they're coming across with, and it's the biggest belief. I don't know what gets into people's heads.
Get them, Grant. Get them.
Yeah, look, I'm happy to, because there's one, and again, I won't use names. You go back to the Twitter feed, Laurie's Twitter feed. There's one bloke scream, via Twitter, having a shot at him about our transfer window in January, which is just about over. But you know, he said right from the start, we don't have the money. We understand Mr. Lee has lost bloody millions of dollars with the club, but he's still hanging in there. He still wants to keep us, but we've just got to sit tight. We've got no money. So that's it, guys. Understand it. If they say there's no more money, there's no more money. You know, when you go to your mums and dads, they say, no, you spend all your pocket money, you don't get any more, do you? So, you know, it's amazing. We've got players that may not be the world's best players. We know that. But we've got players that, I tell you what, I see a lot of guys out there playing for the strip. Absolutely. They're playing for the club. You know, they're really, you look at those bust and runs. Yeah, you might pick one or two, you think, oh, is he serious? He's looking for his next move. I'm looking pretty hard at those players, and, you know, there's a lot out there that I don't see. I think they see they want to finish with this club. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and the club's showing that by signing. We've got 23 players signed already. So, yeah. You know, that's what Laurie was stating. We've got 23 players.
There is no room for more. Unless we get mutual, there is no room for more.
Yeah. But the Twitters have certainly, the Facebook Muppets have certainly tried to take him to task. And he wears his heart in his sleeve, this bloke. You can tell that by what he says and how he says. He's open, he's honest. And all these blokes that have a go at him, he actually replies. And there's one there about some guy, he's not driving up, he's not going to spend any time driving up to watch the game. And so it's disappointing, you know. That you know, you're not going to support the club, but I understand, and you know, hope you'll continue to support. And that's all we can say as the CEO. But yeah, anyway, it's a shame, and you know, I see some of these. I understand it because football's a very emotive, and we watch the game, and we want to laugh and scream and kill and cry all at the same time and cheer at the same time, and. But the way some of these people carry on towards the club and the players, you know, and the thing that I love is that you've got two sides of the camp. Hoffie, I think, is the great divide, right? There's one side of the camp that think he's absolutely totally useless and hopeless. There's another side of the camp that says he's the goat, you know. But you know, he's a decent, fair player. He puts in an effort, and if he's not the world's best, right? He's playing for the Jets.
We got started, didn't we?
Sorry. I'll call it quits there. But give the club a rest, guys.
If you'd like to hear, more of Grant's rant, we'll continue recording, and I'll just let it go. And we'll put that recording up as a special podcast to be released later in the week.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't have time. Anyway.
Grant's podcast brought to you by the word Muppet.
Yeah. I'm passionate. People can understand I'm passionate.
Absolutely. But I'm not disrespectful. I'm taking...
I know that, Dave. I know. But, there's passion and there's emotion, but there's also respect, isn't there?
Absolutely, mate. I think... It's very difficult in society these days because many people have the immediacy of technology. They want something, they can jump online right there and then, they can buy it. They look at the clubs that are overseas in England, they are spending millions and millions and millions of dollars.
Why because can't we they do that?
Can. Football in Australia is not like that. Supporting a football club is not like that, particularly one that often punches above its weight and one that that doesn't have the financial clout of others. That's a simple case of football. It's also a simple case of life. So if you can't support the team, don't bother. So guys, we might wrap it up there. So thank you very much, Lucas, for joining me.
Oh, no dramas. And just to all those, I'm not going to rant on, but I'm just saying, look, we're nowhere near panic stations, you know. You just have to think back, and I guess they can't because they're 12, but think back to when, like, let's just mention the name Phil Stubbins, and that instantly, I'm just like, wow, we're such a good club right now, you know? So just think about that when next time you think, oh, the results aren't going our way, or our club's doing terrible. Look at our CEO. Look at our club is doing fine. So, yeah.
That's football.
That's it.
Very good. And Grant, thanks as well for joining us.
No, thanks for putting up with me, Dave.
No worries. Good to speak to you both, and thank you, listeners, for tuning in. We'll have a review preview with Dr. Emma coming out on Friday, where she'll look back at the Central Coast. Hopefully, well, I expect a Jets win. I really hope a Jets win against the Mariners and also the upcoming game on the weekend against Perth. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you again soon. Go the Jets.
And as always, go the Jets.
Lucas?
Go the Jets. Sorry, yeah. Jeez. I missed my cue.
Bloody hell. Misfiring, mate. Misfiring.
That's it. Yep. Like the Jets.